This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
Radio Free Cybertron, episode 422, recorded at BotCon, but not BotCon, because we're actually across the street, and BotCon hasn't actually started yet.
Well, I mean, the custom classes today happened. There's some BotCon activity today.
God, the internet sucks here.
It's like BotCon Lite.
Well, we're at third-party BotCon, I think, right?
Not until Friday.
So there's a third-party BotCon.
Well, that's what I chose to call it. I mean, we got word like Monday night, I think, that there was going to be a third-party party in the Hilton.
So NotCon then?
NotCon.
On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So they're doing something there.
Yep. That's
yeah.
Plus there's various room parties starting at the BotCon itself with Captured Prey and Chosen Prime, which should be an interesting affair for all.
Yeah. We'll see how that
goes.
Oh,
by the way, Don couldn't fit on screen, so he's over there. So every time you see me look over this way like this.
That's if you're watching video, which...
Well, we assume that you watch video because we produce video, and you should watch it.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know why you wouldn't watch the video, because we're awesome.
Especially this video, when we're all crowded around a tiny little table.
Very uncomfortably.
On a video frame that's not nearly wide enough for all
of us. I just leaned on Melvar.
Yeah.
You know... Yeah. Thinking on it, what we should have done is turn this table this way, put the camera 6 feet back there, and then we would all be able to get in frame.
If we do anything else, we can do that.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But right now, Chris is sitting on a suitcase, Diecast is sitting on the arm of a chair, Melvar is scrunched between Diecast and Brian,
on the
and
other
I have
the arm
bed
of the
all
chair.
To myself.
Since we're all together, we probably need to record some more stuff, otherwise bringing all this stuff was kind of a waste.
Well, weren't we going to do like mini-casts and stuff once John graces us with his presence?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say his name 3 times. John DeLuna, John DeLuna, John DeLuna.
John DeLuna right now is actually probably in line waiting for his figures, and he'll be one of the first people to get them.
Yeah.
Whoa. Actually, yeah, because it's 8 o'clock right now, yeah. Central time, of course.
So that's pretty exciting. Melvar and I were actually able to sneak into the customizing class today.
Well, I wouldn't call it sneak. I wouldn't call it sneak.
We were invited. We were invited. The class was letting out. There were some stragglers. We were invited in and shown around.
And we got to see the custom class figure and take photos of it, which we posted on the RFC Twitter account. We've also been periscoping on the RFC Twitter account.
Which is awesome.
Right. So you definitely want to check that
we've
out.
We've been periscoping the authentic BotCon experience all day.
And if you have not heard what the customizing class figure was...
Well, you should go look on our Twitter and stuff and see the pictures for, you know, first of all.
But right, but I'm going to mention the name, yes. It's for those of you who don't know, it's actually Galva Lyo Convoy, which was the Collectors Club free figure this year, Lyo Convoy, in Galvatron colors, which was a throwback homage to when Lyo Convoy first came out, there was a Lucky Draw version done in Galvatron colors. So it's a nice... It's a nice Beast Wars homage all the
way
around.
It's a nice reference to Japan being weird about toy releases.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice homage, I guess.
Well, not really. The thing is, too, like, people were calling that happening for ever since the Lyo Convoy came out, because the box art on that thing has the Lyo, Nova, and then the purple one on there. They just couldn't figure out how that was going to be. Some people theorized custom class, and they were right. Others thought it would be like a subscription thing.
So if go ahead.
There have been pictures of this posted over at various places over the internet today, but it looks a lot better in person than any of the pictures I've seen posted.
So okay, so if the theme of the set and, you know, the weekend is the most wanted, do Lucky Draw really count?
Well, I was there, Brian, the year that Lucky Draw was brought to BotCon for sale in the dealer's room for $7,000.
But did it sell?
I don't know. I don't remember it selling, but I know a lot of people did want it because it was a very popular...
But does Lucky Draw count?
Well, it kind of, I guess, because if people want it, it's just impossible to get.
Okay, so like generally the things coming in these toys are... like unreleased stuff, like, but there's also the Diaclone Skids, which, you know, that's something that came out pre-Transformers, so it's out there to get. It would just be very expensive and hard to come by, like a Lucky Draw. So
yeah.
there is some there is some connection for that.
Okay. Hey, so what I didn't tell you before is I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, we have Headmaster Don, Chris, a.k.a. XV, Diecast, Melvar, and no John DeLuna as of yet. Rob Clay, we wanted to get Rob on, but...
No internet.
No internet.
Sorry, Rob.
Yeah. So, man, so this we're at BotCon. BotCon starts, I mean, sort of technically today-ish, but BotCon is, as most people care, is really Saturday and Sunday.
There was a tour today, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
There was a customizing class today.
A three-hour tour.
Yeah.
John DeLune is probably in line waiting for his gift set right now.
Yeah.
And the good thing is we will be able to find out from John what the unknown...
freebie figure.
Well, not just that, but also the unknown figure to make up the packages. Cause
oh, the souvenir figure, right.
Well, we know that tonight or tomorrow.
The people who pick up should have...
the attendee figure.
They should be able to go and get their souvenirs if they want to, I think.
Yeah, and also go on ticket. People have already been able to pick up their stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just we don't know... we were estimating the Waspinators weren't a set by themselves.
Right.
The General Optimus Prime may or may not have been with another figure, and then you've got the Black Diaclone Skids. So we don't know if these are in sets of two, how they're being paired up and with what. So there are still some unknown figures that we have not heard or seen of yet.
Right. We're speculating that there is a recolor of Generation Scoop as Sergeant Hound to go with the General Optimus. There, we have not, to my knowledge, seen any leaks to that effect, although there was the blotted-out character in the comic preview that originally had the Scoop silhouette.
Right.
Which they then went back over and actually made more indistinct so you know people could stop guessing that. But as for what would come with skids, we are totally in the dark on that.
Yeah, it could be another skids in another color. It's just there's no telling at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, so we don't really have a normal format this week because
there's
way too much going on.
Well, and like I was in a car for 12 hours. Kilby was in a car for
14 hours.
These two were...
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
I had to run through the streets of Chicago in the rain with my luggage in between trains.
Unfortunately, that wasn't periscoped. How did you end up getting here after you got to the train station?
Well, we called for a shuttle, but the shuttle was unavailable. So
really? So what happened? How did you get...
They did not get the driver. So there was actually another service that nobody told us about, and there is a bus that comes and picks you up and will drive you pretty much anywhere you want to go for $1.75.
Nice.
Excellent.
How do people get a hold of that, Matt?
We have a number.
Okay. Maybe we should share, that.
Let people know about that.
We should probably put that out on our Twitter also when someone gets a chance.
Yeah, we'll put it out on the Twitter because that's probably the right
place.
And
since this
anyway.
Is a pre-record, you'll probably see that before you actually see the show, but still.
But it worked out nicely.
So it ended up being more plane, train, and bus.
Yeah, because when we got off the second
plane, train, train, and bus, but yes.
Right.
Okay, so which one was John Candy and which one was Steve Martin?
Steve Martin, John Candy.
I'm going to have to agree.
Yeah.
Hey, so really, other than BotCon, the thing that really happened this week that...
Oh, yeah, the devastation occurred.
Yeah, Transformers Devastation, that leaked over the weekend. It's a Transformers beat-em-up game that company called... Is it Platinum?
Platinum Games
is known for stuff.
And Activision.
Yeah, Activision's
It has a good pedigree on it. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, so when I saw this, I thought it was an Xbox Live Arcade game
for
like $15. Because the cool thing is, it's a G1 cel-shaded game, and it looks like a G1
cartoon.
Which
is the only thing I have ever wanted out of a video game, by the way.
If you think about people who do fan art of G1 models but up-detail them... with mechanical elements and like toy details, that's basically the art style of Devastation, which I think is why it, resonates with most of us so well.
But the thing is, the gameplay looks really simplistic, which is the reason that I thought that it was an Xbox Live Arcade game.
But for a beat 'em up, you kind of want it simplistic so you can just, beat your way through a level. It's like playing Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, but so...
It's not just a beat 'em up, though. There is also ranged weapons attacks.
Okay.
And it... It will be up to 50 distinct weapons.
And it looks like it's also you can transform and attack in both modes.
Oh, I would hope so.
Yes, you can transform at will.
So you can transform at will, which is good. But really, it's a matter of, look, right now, with what we've seen, you're basically just fighting in the streets.
That's the part they've showed us, but that's not
that
the,
won't
that's
be the extent of it.
From what I have read there, and fighting Devastator as Optimus Prime, you were able to transform into a truck, drive up torn up pavement and use it as a ramp, and transform in midair and attack Devastator in the face.
That's cool.
And, you know, there's a mode in the gameplay where you're doing, like, a turret as it moves on rails by itself. So there's different gameplay styles mixed into this, so it's not all one simplistic gameplay function.
I'm actually supposed to do a mini-cast with John about this.
Yeah. So. Eventually you'll get around to that, probably.
And it's weird, but the Decepticon generic troopers look a lot like Throttlebots to me.
There are Seekers as well.
Purple Seekers. With
purple Conehead Seekers.
With ramjet wings, yeah.
Ooh. And I wonder if that means we'll be getting toys of those, like from the previous games.
So the thing is, okay.
No more of that Seeker mold.
More of that Seeker mold.
So what we found out.
Shut up.
What we found out at E3, there's definitely, it's five characters, Autobots only, that are playable.
Yeah, right now, anyway.
Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Wheeljack, Sideswipe, and Grimlock.
So we haven't seen Grimlock yet.
Right.
We haven't seen Wheeljack yet either.
I thought we saw a shot of Wheeljack. Maybe it was Sideswipe.
I may have missed that one. I've been kind of running today.
I saw the screen grab before I left.
Yeah. But this was like, this really blew up the internet this weekend.
Because people want good Transformers games that aren't the, you know, War for Fall of something.
Oh, like, I want those too, but no, I those, want this as well.
Those two, but if you think about it, you know, those are a little bit more in depth in the gameplay, and I can certainly understand wanting something that's done to the same quality level, but at the same time is a lot more just like straightforward. You just jump into it and go smash things.
Yeah, sometimes I just want to run up a ramp and transform and punch Devastator in the face.
Exactly.
But a lot of people don't like the cel shaded games, and they feel
and
like
a lot
it's,
of people
it,
do.
They're out of luck.
Look cheap.
Well, it's not,
and
it's,
I think that's why Brian said
I like the cel shading.
It looks like an Xbox Live title.
The gameplay makes it look like an Xbox Live title.
The cel shading is not really
arcade. Sorry.
The cel shading isn't really, like, you know, definitive one way or the other diecast. It's more like, you know, it's the visual style that works for what they're going for in this, you know, to make it look like it's walked out of the cartoon. They need the cel shading for that. It's a stylistic choice.
I defy anyone to watch that trailer where Devastator comes crawling over the building and not say that looks awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched the trailer. Just hearing the description of it, that looks awesome. Yeah.
Now, the one thing for me is that I tried playing the War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron games on friend systems and such. And while it looked great, I couldn't follow where I was supposed to go, what I could pick up, what I couldn't. It was so hyper detailed and so busy. It was sort of like watching Revenge of the Fallen. I couldn't follow.
Never compare the Cybertron games.
Well, I'm just saying
to
could,
any anything movie
I couldn't
related
follow
ever.
The flow of
Don,
action in the game.
I mean, Don, this isn't me picking on you. This is just the way it is. I'm the same way. 3D games have a different sort of logic to them that you have to apply. And if you don't play 3D games, it's not going to work.
Right. Okay, here's the
thing,
though.
It takes some getting used to.
But here's the thing. Don makes a good point, actually, because the War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron, you know, however you want to collectively refer to those.
The of Cybertron games.
But one's a for Cybertron.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
the
well.
Cybertron games?
The good games.
So, like, those are aimed a little bit higher, you know, higher age bracket for the audience. There is more complexity to it, and this, the Devastation, actually, I think would be really good for younger kids to play. Like, I think that's probably their angle with this.
Maybe.
And, you know, Don.
But
it's the game, the graphics and the characters aren't for younger kids.
Yeah,
so.
No, but it's one of those gateway kind of things. Like, you know, here, you know, your kid likes Transformers, and they know the names from the cartoons that have been on, and you get them in this, and they recognize enough of it to know this is Transformers, this is stuff they know.
I agree with that. I mean, that's like why kids buy the Combiner Wars and Generation stuff. It's because it's Transformers and they like it. But one thing I want to mention, and I'm not a fan of Attack on Titan, but I know that a lot of people are, But that scene where Devastator shows up from behind the building is like pulled from Attack on Titan, basically. I tried to watch that once, and
I know enough about it to know that I'm not interested.
Didn't do anything for me, but apparently people love it. So
but the voice cast they put back together for this is impressive as well.
It really is.
Yeah. They just need to get Arthur Burkhart back as Devastator.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm just gonna, I'm gonna wait to see kind of what's, you know, what it actually turns out to be. I don't know that I can be as excited as everyone else right now.
And
that's why you're wrong.
I think more like, you know, Kilby makes a point too. This is a little bit simplistic in terms of content right now, and I think this is just your starter platform for a lot of DLC add-ons.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think that's what they're doing with this.
Hopefully.
And you're kind of right that selling it at $60 with that intent in mind is probably a little bit high. But at the same time, I mean, it's not. It isn't like it's an Xbox Live title either.
But this game is called Devastation. If Download Pack 1 is not play as Devastator, I will be incredibly upset.
Well, no, they call it Devastation because it's going to devastate your wallet with all the downloadable
I'm fine with that. I am totally fine with that.
Look, give me fun mission packs for $5 a piece every, like, 3 or 4 weeks. Works for me.
Yeah.
I just like the way it looks. It's not a simple look, but it's a very vibrant look. It's very colorful. You can follow with, and that's the worst thing about video games. If you can't follow what you're doing because there's so much clutter on the screen, you can't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you can see what's going on. You can enjoy the colors. You can enjoy the designs. And that's what, I'm probably going to buy a 360 just so I can play this game.
Good news, Don. They're like $50 now.
That's why I picked the 360.
You can get the system cheaper than the game.
Or, you know what? Do you have a Blu-ray player at home?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to suggest, like, you can get a PS3 for about $100 now. You know, it'll be out for that too, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, PlayStation 3 and 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
And PC.
Eventually.
Who cares about that?
And because it's cel shaded,
that's the only thing I play
difference.
Games on. Screw consoles.
Okay. All right. No console versus PC battles. This is not.
No, it's just that. You know.
Licensed PC ports don't always turn out the best, though.
Maybe 5 or 6 or 10 years ago.
Well, I don't know, Brian. Angry Joe has done a couple of reviews on PC ports.
I thought you were going to say something about Angry Birds, Don.
I don't have a clue who or what you're talking about.
Angry Joe is a video game reviewer that
I
follow.
If your name begins with Angry, you probably suck. So, sorry.
I'm just saying he's shown off some glitches and ports that didn't quite work out. I was just saying.
The same thing happens between like the PS4 and the Xbox. I mean, if one's designed for one and not the other, crap happens.
Well, yeah, look at Battlefield. I mean, but Battlefield was a total disaster on consoles when it went to consoles.
But like at this point, the PS4 and the Xbox One are all x86 based. They're PCs. It's just that they have
They're PCs, but they're built with the specific hardware they need for the games to run. And something made for a PC has to be made more, you know, lower common denominator.
Actually not. Because PS4 and Xbox One are actually would be really low-end PCs.
Right, but they have the specific. You know, everything's made in the same with the same
architecture.
Yeah, I guess. You know, everything has a standard that it follows for the consoles.
Mm-hmm.
PCs vary so much, you can't guarantee. You have to make it work different to do that.
The bar for a PC would probably still be higher than the Xbox One or
Okay, so
PS4.
Then why was the PC port for War for Cybertron not as good as the console versions?
It's fine, and that was a generation ago when they weren't PCs. Xbox 360 and PS4 are not the same architecture.
Not to change the subject at all. But
yeah, weren't we
going to
talk about BotCon at some point?
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I agree with Don, believe it or not, that like visual simplicity in the game to make it easy to follow and fun to play is really important. This has that, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
PC, Steam. Don, Steam's way to go.
Don, you
screw
know,
consoles.
You know, I do agree with you when I think you legitimately have a good point.
I was going to say, Fall of Cybertron was very simple to follow.
Well, I'm just saying.
But you play 3D games.
Yeah,
Don doesn't.
I'm a very low average gamer.
My last video game purchases were the flashback systems.
Yeah.
Don, okay. Have you ever played Minecraft?
No.
I am a
on my laptop? Do you think I should even try on my laptop with my specs?
Maybe. So I just want to point out. I am primarily a retro gamer. I like 8-bit games. I love 8-bit games and 16-bit games. Like, I get 3D gaming, but I don't like it. And Don not playing him at all, I totally understand where he's coming from. Yeah. What he says makes 100% sense. Mm-hmm. So if you don't play that style of, those style of games, it would be confusing.
And like I've played enough 3D games in my life where I can follow complicated action like that, but I still think make it simple to the point where it works and is fun to look at, and you're golden.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need all that visual complexity just for the sake of it.
Vary your colors, help things stand out.
Yes! Hey, so BotCon. BotCon is this week. We are not, hasn't started yet, so there's a lot of news that hasn't come through yet. There's an article on T-Formers. I don't think we actually talked about it, what we might expect to see.
Oh, yeah.
At BotCon.
Mm-hmm.
So, was it you or Rob that wrote that?
I wrote that.
Hey, so tell us, what are you thinking? What might we see?
Okay, so there's a lot of speculation in the article because there's been all the inventory leaks since early this year, before Toy Fair even. So there's the obvious things we can expect to see at the Hasbro panel, like Combiner Wars Wave 4, which Hasbro US has not actually technically officially acknowledged exists yet. Even though we all know it. But besides that, I figured there's a possibility we could probably see 2016 Wave 1, which, you know, would be our Combaticon set. I've also speculated that based on those inventory leaks, and especially the Legends price point stuff where there's a lot of the cassette characters, that we may get our reveal of a leader class Soundwave and or Blaster, like we got Megatron and Armada Megatron revealed last BotCon. That's basically the highlights of the article.
I mean, so like in this new world that we live in with, you know, SDCC being having such a presence, and even then New York Comic Con after that,
mm-hmm.
The amount of stuff we find out at BotCon isn't what it used to be.
Okay, so think about the last Hasbro panel, because like, at this point, most people are of the mind that Combiner Wars was completely revealed at Comic-Con, but at BotCon, we saw Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
And it just was not acknowledged as a Combiner Wars toy. We saw the Megatrons, which are Combiner Wars toys. They're not Combiners, but they're Combiner Wars toys. And, you know, they showed us the stuff.
Prime's a Combiner.
I know, I'm just saying, they showed us stuff. They showed us stuff from the Combiner Wars line just without it revealing the brand name on it. And, you know, that was early 2015 stuff. And I think the only reason we didn't see a full first wave for the deluxes and everything at that point, too, was because SDCC had been promised the Combiner Wars debut. That's already been done and over with now. So I think at this point, BotCon could be free to show Wave 1 2016. Remember, SDCC has Victorion to reveal.
Do you think they promise the reveal for the...
Well, I mean, it's a very simplistic way of describing it, okay, but they make an arrangement with the venue. You know, we're going to have our thing here.
Whenever you're going to have a new product. But this is a continuing product line that we already know about.
You're
going to
give us panel time at your show, which has high demand, and we're going to give you an exclusive reveal to drive media attention to you.
Now, one thing I didn't see mentioned, I did read the article. I read the article, but I can't remember it completely. I'm hoping that we're going to find out where G2 Devastators are going to land as exclusives holidays.
Let's head that off a little bit, though, Don. I would like to find out G2 Devastator will exist,
exactly.
And we'll find out where it will exist.
Don't put the cart before the horse.
It's just with that much money in those molds, I can't see them.
Metroplex.
Well, Metroplex, I think Metroplex feels like more of a special case. Just like Devastator has built-in options, Metroplex has really limited options. Because like if you do a yellow G2 Devastator, even people who don't recognize G2 colors specifically, those are real construction vehicle colors. You know, there's an interest there. It's a legitimate real-world vehicle type to draw from, and it has the G2 thing for the people who know that.
Yeah. Plus, also doing recolors of the Constructicons would get more sales for less money than doing the recolors of Metroplex.
Okay, so like,
as far as people knowing Constructicons versus Metroplex, who you get more sales out of?
Okay, so like the short version of the common wisdom is that they design the molds with the expectation that they will get X number of releases out of it, and they budget and price accordingly. So, like with Metroplex, it had a release in the U.S., it had an SDCC release, it had a Japanese retail release, and it had a Hong Kong convention release. So, spread out over all of that, Hasbro and Takara were satisfied that they got their investment back. They didn't need to use it anymore. Remember Frenzy and Rumble, the little tanks?
Yes.
Those came out from Takara. Hasbro had invested part in those molds, too, but because they were sold by Takara, Hasbro basically looked at it like, well, the investments come back because, you know, they're partners and, it's, you know, they're sharing between that.
But we could very much be looking at another Metroplex situation with Devastator because we've already got the retail release and a San Diego Comic-Con.
And the Takara release is going to be officially announced Friday night, our time, at Tokyo Toy Show.
Absolutely. So
and that's kind of the point I'm driving at, too, where they very well could have designed and planned these so... You know, this release is all they need to get their investment and make their profit on it.
Well, it kind of looks like that a little bit too. So,
yeah.
But here's the thing, though. That's sort of like saying, well, we have enough money. We don't want any more. When they know there's built-in sales just to add gravy to the potatoes.
Okay. Not at a $170 toy, though.
There's
so.
Always risk.
Yeah. And so, shelf like, space. Think about Metroplex. Now, we know, as fans, as knowledgeable fans, there is... Transformers Victory, or not Victory, Zone, with Metro Titan.
Right.
Like, to us, that's an obvious thing to recolor Metroplex into.
Right, but it's not going to be something that's well-known by a lot of people.
And so, if they did that, they would be taking a big risk, and they could sink money into another production, and it would end up at TJ Maxx, and they would, at best, break even on it.
Okay, but I'm accountable with one thing. G2 Bruticus at Amazon. Mm-hmm. The thing sold like gangbusters.
That was $60.
Yeah. It was a cheaper toy.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if Bruticus did that well in a G2 scheme at Amazon, and it was a shared exclusive with some other people, I believe.
Everybody doesn't buy two versions of the same toy, Don.
Okay. Price point.
Especially an expensive
price
one.
Point.
I'm sorry. It just seems to me.
No, I understand.
It's
I understand
money
where you're,
you're leaving on the table to me.
I'll buy it twice, I'll buy it five times.
Can I talk about Dystopia for a minute? Because that's a good example.
No, it's not, because it's a third-party toy, which is a low-run targeted item in the first place, and the
now costs $450.
And the obscure recolor is an even smaller-run, focused, more tightly targeted item. So, like, they know exactly what they're getting. Remember, Make Toys sold this as pre-orders, and then they opened it up to general sales because the pre-orders still weren't enough sales.
That's my point. That was my point.
Okay,
and now
okay,
even TF
you.
Source and Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I took you going in the opposite direction with that.
I don't think you can point out third-party stuff in the positive as like means for like Hasbro sales, but you can definitely point it out in the negative.
Yes,
or,
right.
That's a great indicator for that.
Yeah. It is a great indicator for that. No, I would love to see Devastator recolors, Don. I'm totally with you on that. I think we all are.
It's just like I said. To me, as a business major, if you've made your money back on the mold, you have potential money sitting there to not at least try it in some fashion.
But if you've made your money back on the mold, but you lose money on
but
the second run,
but that's just it. You don't know if you lose money or not.
But they don't know they're going to make it on something that's called business.
It's called risk. It happens.
Right, but
risk
they
aversion.
They don't.
Companies
need,
don't want to lose money.
They don't need to take that risk because they've already satisfied their plan for this merchandise.
There's a percentage of the risk. There's a 90% risk, 50%.
Even beyond that, Hasbro, the Transformers line, they have numbers they have to hit. They hit the numbers, they're happy.
Yeah, we
don't know what those numbers are.
You know, they have a business plan for every toy they produce, and when it hits that, you know, if it's something cheap and small and it's not going to cost a lot for them to do another run of it as like a special thing, like we're getting G2 Superion, and that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's more your Bruticus thing where they can run those and not put a lot of risk into it. Devastator's going to be probably $150 toy.
Six
that's
Voyagers.
True. That's true. Well, you know, a friend of mine he's a Transformer fan, but he's not into the fan. He's not a member of the fandom, but he's a fan. He said, "Well, what if they just make all those the Devastator, the G2 colors, the Fun Pub subscription. And
no,
you are not going to get six Voyages.
I know. I'm just saying. He just mentioned that. I thought
no. Like
that's an interesting idea, but I don't think we'll ever see it.
No,
but
even putting like the logistics of it aside, I don't want that to happen.
Here's one more thing to consider too. That's factory time that they need to produce that, and that means something else gets pushed back or maybe not made at all.
Or if
because
it's being done at the same time Takara's is on the line.
That's really tricky to do, though.
And also, we're talking out our butts because we don't know.
Okay, the thing is, too, it doesn't matter whether it's Hasbro or Takara, because to run those toys, they schedule a specific precise window in advance. So, like, they can't just say, okay, well, while you have those molds up anyway, run 5,000 more of them in these colors. It's no problem, right? No, they can't do that because the factories make their money by doing turnaround on the line as fast as they can to do as many things in a day or a week or whatever their cycle is as possible. So, I mean, you know, I get, you know, there is definitely a common sense logic to what you're saying, but it's toy production. Common sense doesn't apply.
I'm sorry. I just see this as being money left on the table. Again, me being a business major, I know about the risk and everything. It's just I think there's money on the table.
We all want it to happen.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we're definitely not arguing with you on that. It would be great if that did happen. We just have a harder time looking at it so optimistically as you do, Don.
Okay. So again, BotCon's going on this week. I have really terrible internet. So I've got to get this show up, so I need to keep it as short as possible. What else do we have to talk about before? We're going to have plenty more content this week, folks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is
basically just like our BotCon
pre-show. The tip of the iceberg, yes. Yeah.
I mean, like, the really important thing is to mention, just follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
You know, because we're going to be pushing a lot of news and a lot of information
and
out to those, as
well as
tfradio.net/Amazon.
And tfradio.net/.
And of course, I must say, you know, keep an eye on T-Formers also. We'll be having reports and photos there as well, you know, throughout the weekend.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, what else?
Well, nothing really comes to mind, Brian.
Okay.
Well, I just want to go get in the pool.
We don't have notes, Brian. It's kind of hard to work off of when we don't have, like, bullet points. I know. You know.
And do you think we'll see a masterpiece U.S. release Ultra Magnus?
Well, that depends. Kilby, are you planning to go to the dealer room and buy one?
I've got Ultra Magnus.
Oh, well, then we could. No, I will just always remember 2012 when you almost bought MP10 Convoy in the dealer room, and then 20 minutes later, Hasbro panel coming out, and I was just so disappointed I didn't get to see the look of ruin on your face.
Now, here's the strange thing. We all go in expecting Ultra Magnus, and they decided to bring over Star Saber.
That would be hilarious.
You know what? I would not hate that because Star Saber looks really nice.
Saber looks amazing, but guess what?
But
it's not.
Okay, but that's
what
I'm saying.
Star Saber.
I will not
fine.
Pay Japanese prices for it. If it comes out for like $120 from Hasbro, I will buy that just to have a big, pretty robot toy that does robot things.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I know.
It's not a fun toy.
Of course not. It's a masterpiece.
There are masterpiece
the small
toys.
Masterpieces are fun, probably.
Yes, yes.
The big ones are not.
Grimlock.
Grimlock's
great.
Grimlock is awesome.
I've handled the Grimlock. Don't really like it.
I love it.
You're wrong and you have no soul.
MP08 is the best masterpiece toy, period.
The only thing wrong with him is the light-up gimmick. That was unnecessary.
It's okay. Okay, so
again, this is just BotCon pre-show show. We're going to have more content. So this is just like our highlights of things that have happened and we expect to happen. And, you know, I think we didn't
really expect any news to happen, you know, since last show because of BotCon. Yeah. But,
right, but I mean, you know, Devastation, basically.
Yeah. Well, we get to play Devastation this week.
That's the repaint I want of Titan Class Devastator. I want them to paint it to look cel-shaded to go with the game.
Oh.
I hope it turns out better than the Rambo and the Batman that came out in the
old... Those aren't cel-shaded.
Huh?
Those aren't cel shaded.
Well, they look like crap. Whatever they are.
They do look like crap.
Yes.
That NECA 8-bit.
So
stuff.
I don't want to look like crap.
I can't. I'm sure it's been done. I just can't think of a toy based on a CG thing like that where the deco has had cel shading effects put
on it.
That's
why I want to see it.
It would just be.
It'd be highlighting along the edges. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even. You could do that. I'm just saying, like, the color scheme would probably just be much lighter.
It'd be super glossy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to end the show right now.
Really? Can I please go get in the pool now?
Yes, go get in the pool.
Thank you. God.
So I will be uploading the show for like 10 hours.
Yeah, with this internet, you might. It might be easier to drive home and then,
you know, come back tomorrow.
And then drive back.
Okay. So that'll do it for today. And follow us on Twitter at TF Radio.
That's Don's hand, by the way.
Yeah, people watching the video.
It was underneath the desk.
If the video gets posted, oh my God.
Lean over, Don.
I don't think I can post that internet. The video due to the internet. It may get posted after the fact.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of thinking the T-Formers video content that gets produced is going to be that way, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we can do from here.
And we're all operating on after driving 12 to 14
hours. I don't know about you, Don. I'm full of adrenaline right now.
I've been up for 20 hours.
I'm full of tinier men.
I need a cheer wine.
Yeah, okay. That's what she said. That'll do it. We'll see you later. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.